Okay. Good evening, everyone. At this time, I call the full City Council meeting for February 7th, 2022 to order. We are doing this meeting virtually, as you can see. So if you want to go on the City Council's website, if you go to the Warwick RI City Council website, you can see the link to join us. There's also a number of phone numbers that you can join us, both non-toll-free numbers and toll-free numbers that you can use to join us this evening. And there is a link, a free link to click on to join us on Zoom. We are also, you can also watch the meeting on the city's YouTube channel as well. So we are convening. There is nothing in person. We are here on Zoom. At this time, the clerk will call the roll.
Mr. McAllister?
Here.
Mr. Foley?
Here.
Mr. Gephardt?
Here.
Mr. Howe?
Here.
Mr. Lattice?
Here.
Mr. McElroy?
Here.
Mr. Ricks?
Here.
Mr. Sinapi?
Here.
Ms. Travis?
Here.
9 present.
Thank you very much. At this time, I call on Councilman Gephardt to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. And then we will do the Pledge of Allegiance and the National Anthem. So thank you.
May I just ask a quick question? Could you just repeat the phone numbers that the public can dial in on? Because there's nothing here. You know, typically you have a whole bunch of phone numbers, and I think there may be some problems with people trying to dial in.
The phone numbers are on our website. They're all listed on our website. It's also on the agenda that's been posted. There's a number of them here.
Okay.
So if they go onto the City Council website page, we can also go on the Secretary of State's website. There is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 different phone numbers that people can join. So they can find those numbers on our agenda. All set. Okay, Councilman Gephardt.
I pledge allegiance to the flag, the United States of America, to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much, Councilman Gephardt. Next up on our agenda is general communications. I have one. I just want to take a minute to thank DPW and all the city workers and contractors that got us through this blizzard. We had a blizzard. They worked countless hours. Some saw a storm. They were out plowing in a storm they've never been before. Wind coming everywhere, snow coming down at a rapid rate. So I just really wanted to thank them for doing an excellent job getting out there and serving the public. I also want to take a second just to thank all the residents of Warwick for helping all of us get through this. We've heard council members have heard countless examples of neighbors helping their neighbors, plowing out driveways, using their snow blowers to help out there, the fellow Warwick residents, digging out cars. And I also want to thank all the residents for their patience. This was a huge storm. This was an epic storm, and it was followed up by an ice storm. So, you know, the city is going to do everything that they can to clear these streets, to make them passable. We understand people need to get to work. We have a lot of nurses and doctors that, you know, they got to go in no matter what. So we coordinate with the state, and they're doing the best that is possible. So I just want to thank everyone for their patience. When these storms come up, please reach out to your council people. If your street needs a second sweep through, let us know. We will go through. So I just want to thank everybody, from the workers to the residents. We got through this together, and it was a big storm, and I just want to commend everybody for working together to get through. At this time, are there any members of the City Council that have anything under general communications? Let's pull up here, see if there's any. Okay, seeing none. Next up on the agenda is the acceptance of the minutes from the council held on January 19th. All those in favor of accepting the minutes, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? The minutes passed. All right. At this time, I would like to ask the City Council two questions. The first question is there any objection to moving up PCR 21-22, a resolution supporting the Warwick Public Schools construction application to RIDE for stage two approval? Is there any objection to moving this up at this time? Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. President. No, I have no objections. I would just like for the council solicitor to explain to everyone here and anyone in attendance that this is a series of two votes, just voting in the affirmative for the unanimous consent doesn't mean we're voting on the item. We're just voting on hearing it at this council meeting versus another. But the fact remains that we'll be voting on it on the full floor, with also opening up to comments from members of the public at that time.
Correct. I'm going to walk you through. So there's multiple votes, and I'll have Mr. Walsh explain it. The first vote is to move it up to the top of the agenda. Then there will be a vote to hear it under unanimous consent. And then we will actually take up the item and walk it through. So Mr. Walsh, if you want to answer that for the councilman.
Thank you. You did a great job, Council President. The first item is when we move things around the council agenda, where the council president is asking if there's any objection to changing the order of the docket so that this item can be heard out of order at the top right now, at which point he will then proceed to the other two questions that Councilman Lattiser was looking at, which is one, the item that's docked before us tonight is here under unanimous consent. The consent of the council is being asked so that we can hear it because it didn't follow the normal docketing procedures. But it's an important item that was requested to be brought before everyone at this time. So it's a procedural vote to allow for us to continue. That vote is not on any of the merits of it. It's whether or not there's any objection to having that hearing this evening. If there's consent granted by all nine members, that allows you to proceed to the action on the underlying resolution to be discussed.
Thank you very much. Okay, so at this time, I'm asking if we can move up, it's number two under unanimous consent to the top of the calendar. Is there any objections to hearing that, to moving that to the top of the agenda to discuss? Okay, hearing none, we have now moved it up. Now, the next question is, this was posted under unanimous consent, which means all nine council people must agree that they are willing to hear that at this time. That is it. We're not talking about the merits. It's just a procedural thing, as Solicitor Walsh pointed out. So is there any objections from members of the City Council to hear this item under unanimous consent at this time? Okay, seeing no objections, we will now take up PCR 21-22. So I want to take a few minutes, just kind of lay out exactly what the process is going to be. Then we have the chairwoman of the school committee is going to address the council. And then we are going to have the finance director from the city of Warwick has a some information to share as well. Then we will open it up to members of the city council to ask questions. Then, because this was done under unanimous consent and not through committees, the members of the public have not had an opportunity to ask any questions. So I will ask that for members of the public after the city council has asked questions, if they would like to ask any questions to the school department or the administration, they'll be free at that time. So the important thing to understand this evening is that this is a multi-step process, as Councilman Lannister has pointed out. What we are taking up at this time boils down to this one-page resolution, which is in our docket this evening. And really what that is does the city council support the school committee's application for stage two approval? Do we approve of it moving forward at this time? That is what is being considered by the city council at this time. The city council does not have the authority to change where the layout is going to be for the schools, the proposals for the schools. We can't move where the proposal for the science rooms are going to be or anything like that. Our job this evening is just to talk about the merits of the application and whether we support it moving forward so RIDE can review this. RIDE has this provision that they will not review stage two of this application unless they have support from the city council of this application. That is why we are here this evening. If that were to pass, it then would go to RIDE, for then they would review the application. They will make sure everything is in order. And if they accept it and they approve that it makes it, it would come back to the Warwick City Council, where we would have to take a separate vote. And that vote would be, do we send this bond question to the General Assembly, asking them to put it on the ballot? So there is multiple steps for this. This evening, we are only going to be discussing the application. However, this is the first time that I believe that the fiscal impact is going to be discussed. We had a great presentation from the school administration at the last council meeting, talked about the designs for the two new high schools. They took a number of questions on that. The city council's job is to talk about the finances of that. So we're going to take this opportunity. We've asked the finance director to provide us some information. This is the opportunity for members of the council and members of the public to ask questions about that. But in the end, tonight, what is before the city council on PCO 21-22 is, do we support the application moving forward to RIDE? Are we supporting of that? So I want to pause there. We have the chairwoman of the school committee is here. We have the superintendent is here. They have their full team. They gave their big presentation at the last council meeting, but I do want to give them the opportunity to reintroduce themselves and say a few words on this project, and then we're going to dive right in. So superintendent or chairwoman, whoever would like to go first.
Yes, good evening. My name is Judy Cobden. I'm the chair of the Warwick School Committee. And I'd like to take this opportunity to thank Council President McAllister and the honorable city council members for allowing us this opportunity to participate in tonight's meeting. The School Building Committee, as well as the Warwick School Committee, are seeking your approval of stage two submission of the new high school project to RIDE School Building Authority. Ms. D'Ambrook, Mr. Testa, and Mr. Gothberg would like to say a few words regarding this process. The high school design team is also here to answer any and all questions. I'd like to pass this on to Superintendent D'Ambrook.
Good evening, Council President McAllister and members of the City Council.
Good evening.
We appreciate the opportunity to be before you tonight. Stakeholders in the Warwick School Department had developed vision of a graduate And this vision includes many components, being a continuous learner, an empathetic collaborator, a skilled communicator, an innovative problem solver, a critical thinker, an empowered citizen, and a healthy and balanced learner. These components in our vision of a graduate encompass the 21st century learning skills that every learner needs to master to be successful in a career and in life in general. It is important to provide modern inspirational facilities with a variety of unique learning spaces to give our students the opportunities to learn and apply these 21st century skills. These learning spaces should be adaptable to allow for large and small group work, peer-to-peer learning, individual and group exploration and discovery. So I look forward to having you support the submission of stage two so we can hopefully move in that direction. So thank you very much for hearing us tonight.
Thank you. Mr. Testa?
Actually, Council President, I don't have any prepared remarks. We were going to move it over to Mr. Gothberg.
Okay.
For the sake of time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Council President and members of the council. Appreciate this time. More than 2.5 years ago, Warwick Public Schools started the process of working towards major renovations of Pilgrim and Tollgate. An educational planner was brought on board. Multiple stakeholder meetings and community forums were held to gather as much information and community input as possible to determine the direction we would need to go to move our two high schools to the 21st century education. In July of 2021, the team brought the first rendition of the renovation concepts to RIDE for their review and feedback. RIDE did not agree with renovating the high schools due to the difficulty in phasing of construction and the impact of student learning over several years. We changed the direction and sought approval to now focus on new high schools instead of major renovations. Multiple meetings were held with administrators, teachers, department heads, and union leadership to get input from all on what would be needed to have state-of-the-art high schools that we can entice families to come to Warwick. Our stage one submission was submitted on September 15th, 2021, and has been approved. Our budget has been unanimously approved by both the School Building Committee and the Warwick School Committee. We are seeking City Council approval to move forward with stage two submission on February 15th, 2022. Wright has reviewed the new concept and has enthusiastically endorsed our direction. City Council's approval is critical. Without it, stage two submission cannot move forward. If the February 15th, 2022 deadline is not met, Warwick will miss the opportunity to lock in all available reimbursement and temporary bonuses offered by RIDE, and the project will not move forward. We are not seeking any final approvals, but are requesting that the process be allowed to continue. The team of Superintendent Danbrook, Assistant Superintendent McCaffrey, Building Committee Chair David Testa, Lead Architect Sicosio and Associates, the associate team from SAM Architects, and myself are here to answer any of your questions. And we really appreciate this. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. So as this came forward to the City Council, there's been a lot of discussion. Again, we had a great presentation from the school department at the last council meeting. On designs and everything like that. But the big focus, the only, really authority that the City Council would have on this is, how to pay for it. What's the cost going to be? So what I did on behalf of the council, the chair of the finance committee and myself, we requested that the administration kind of put together a proposal of what the cost would be for this application. So what we're talking about is two new high schools. A cost around $350 million was the number that the city council was given about 2 weeks ago. So that's what we're talking about, $350 million. So Peter Schaefer, who is the finance director for the city of Warwick, put together a memo for members of the city council and members of the public to talk about what this proposal would do, the debt services costs, best case scenarios, worst case scenarios. There's a lot of moving parts in this. So as they talked about, there's a lot of milestones that you could hit to get reimbursement. So you won't have to borrow the full amount because you could get reimbursement from the state of Rhode Island. There's a limited amount of funds on that. So that's why this application is so important going forward to discuss. So I asked Mr. Schaefer if he could provide us some top line numbers, just so we can all get a sense of what this cost would be. Again, this evening, the vote that the city council will take is whether or not to support the application moving forward, not a final vote on whether we're going to send this up to the state house, asking to put it on the ballot for the November election. So I just, again, I wanna make that very clear of what we will ultimately be asked to vote on this evening. So if Mr. Schaefer is available, if I could have him call on. Hey, good evening, Mr. Schaefer.
Council President, how are you?
Good, good. I wanna thank you very much. We gave you a big topic here and you had a very narrow window to get as much information as possible. As I had mentioned, there's a lot of moving parts in this. There's reimbursements, there's debt service, there's retired debt service. There's best case scenarios, worst case scenarios. But if you could just walk us through what a $350 million bond request, which is what is being proposed in dollars and cents, what that would look like in an annual budget, what would that look like to impact to the taxpayers?
All right. I did a range here, and I had our financial advisor, Hilltop Securities, who we're working with right now on selling bonds from the $40 million, put some debt service tables together. And there's a lot of risks out there. There's interest rate risk. There's how much is the project actually going to cost. There's timing of when you issue the debt. But what I focused on was trying to come up with a range of annual costs after all the debt is issued. And from the tables that he gave me and the interest rate assumptions that he had, which are really around 4% on 20-year bonds, we came up with an estimate of somewhere between a little over $13 million a year in annual debt service to close to $20 million annually a year in debt service. And that the tax levy of the tax levy of the city is currently $235 million. So the 13 plus million represents about 5.5% of the total current tax levy. The 19.5 million represents about 8.3%. So we're talking on current tax rates. And remember, we're going through a revaluation. So these tax rates are all going to change after the next cycle in the next budget year. But we're talking on the residential rate somewhere between $1 and $1.50 a thousand on the tax rate, which would be somewhere between $330 and $490 for a $300,000 home. And I haven't done this more. It would be a bigger hurdle for commercial property taxpayers who pay a tax rate 50% higher than the residential rate. But I, in my communication to you, I went through the same things that you've clearly articulated. This is a two-step process. The first step is to get it before Rhode Island Department of Education for further review. And the second step is coming back. And I assume they're talking about for this coming November. I'm not sure whether that's essential. I worry about Steve, He's got a lot of projects he's working on now. I worry about him doing two high schools on top of what he's already working on, but that's for the school department to comment on. But that's the range of costs. And as you know, the governor's budget proposed some changes to reimbursements, another $250 million bond issue. Who knows what may come out of the General Assembly's deliberations on what the incentives will be, whether there's going to be more pay-as-you-go funding. My numbers were really based upon what we know now as the possibility of incentives, what the reimbursements are going to be. And I think it's a good range. I did talk to Tim McGrath once. He was a little, he had some comments on it, but I don't think there's any dispute about this is the range of cost that you can envision. But as the council president said, it's a two-step process. First, whether you want this to go forward, and the second would be either later this year or sometime else, whether you want to go to the voters, go to the General Assembly for a referendum and approve the authorization of this kind of debt.
Thank you very much, Mr. Schaefer. So just to put a point on that, what we're talking about is just for this proposal, so just this bond request,
yeah,
we are looking at a range of adding to the annual budget of from $13 million to about $20 million. So someone were in there, each year we will need to come up with that number. That is just for this project. So obviously that we'll need to increase expenses for other things as well as, you know, healthcare costs go up and new contracts and new materials and different things that increase in the budget. But just for this line item, for this project, that's the kind of range that we're looking at. And the director, he put in, he used, if your home is assessed around $300,000, so right now, property rates assessments are way up because of the housing market and everything like that. So that's a good range for if your house is worth around $300,000, you're looking at what could be a tax increase between $330 to $490 a year. So again, we just want to lay out all this information so members of the public, I believe we need to educate the public on the cost of this. I think everybody is in support of new high schools. New stuff is great, but the cost of it, that's where you know, we really need to think about and debate. So I just wanted to put a point on those numbers that Mr. Schaefer laid out. So at this
Council time, President, if I could just say one other thing, is that would not be next year. I mean, obviously, they're going to go through a design process. They're going to come back to you. If you get authorization, if there was a vote in November, even then, it would be at least a year, two, maybe even 3 years before we issued the debt for these projects. So, but my focus here is long-term embedded costs starting in 2025 or 2026.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you for pointing that out. And just like the process, you know, the construction wouldn't start for a couple of years as well. So, if you do this, the bill's coming one way or the other. So that's important to have the range. So at this time, I'd like to open up questions to my colleagues on the council. If you could use the raise your hand icon or just wave at me. There's a lot of screens up here. Councilman Foley.
Thank you. Right now, the projected cost of these two buildings is $350 million. What comes to mind right away is our lease for the Sawtooth Mill. We passed and appropriated monies for that, and within 6 months, they were back to us for another $80,000. This $350 million, let's just say that there's a 20% increase in the cost of building. Would the state reimburse us in that $20 million increase? Or are they, if they approve this on February 15th, it goes to them. They look at our plans at $350 million. They say, go forward. If you hit all the benchmarks, dot all your I's, you know, cross all your T's, we'll reimburse you at 50, 52%. What happens if there's an overage and we have to come up with another $20 million? Does the state, will the state also reimburse that increase in cost? I'm not sure who to direct that question to. So whoever can answer that, if you would, I'd appreciate it.
I'll take that, Council President. Okay. What we've done is we're looking at including escalation in the number. We've looked ahead. We have approximately 15% that we're looking at right now that it's been included. So that has been included in there, but RIDE will not authorize more if it goes above, to answer that question.
So again, once we break, you know, we vote on it in November, it goes forward, we break ground in 2 years, and 2 years from now, it's going to cost 20% more, $20 million more. Warwick is on the hook for the entire $20 million, correct?
Well, what happens is RIDE will only reimburse to a certain amount anyway. If we figure that our building is, we project it to cost $700 a square foot, RIDE will only reimburse $551 a square foot. So their total on reimbursement is $150 million, no matter if it's $350 or $400 million.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Foley. Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. We've heard so far about the costs of doing this, but we also haven't quite heard yet about the costs of not doing this. I have heard some discussion that if Pilgrim is not replaced, or if there are not major renovations, well, to put this in some context, we know that RIDE is getting to the point, the assessments are getting to the point where we're not going to be able to get state matching funds at all for major repairs to Pilgrim. What would happen if Pilgrim continued to need major repairs just to really stay habitable so that students can occupy the building? And what happens if some years from now, hypothetically, this is not approved, hypothetically, other major repairs that would be a matter of throwing good money after bad also aren't approved? Would we be looking at a town of Johnston situation where the high school loses its accreditation if we do nothing for the next few years?
Someone from the, I believe that should be a school department.
Yes. So that is a possibility. We just going through the process of accreditation, and they have commented on our facilities. So it is a possibility. I know Bill McCaffrey is on the call too, if you want to add something, Bill.
Both high schools were cited for facilities issues in its last accreditation review. We need to address them, cost money, and it's something that we can't avoid.
I'll just add a little comment to that as well, especially when I was younger. Not so much anymore, but when I was younger, had less money, I would buy cheap cars. I would buy a car for $500, and then when that $500 car was run into the ground, just repairs weren't worth it, I went out and I bought a $300 car. We can't do that with schools. We cannot wait until the school is completely run into the ground, because then where on earth are over 1,000 of our high school students going to go? Are we going to ship them off to the neighboring towns? What exactly is the plan if we run Pilgrim High, and for that matter, to, you know, I'm not worried quite as much about Tollgate, because Tollgate is in a little better shape than Pilgrim, but Tollgate isn't that much further behind Pilgrim either. My comment here is, let's not run our high schools into the ground before we replace them. And for that matter, let's, sticking with the car analogy, let's not throw good money after bad, because these are buildings that were not designed for the 21st century. They're not designed for the modern education system, where we need more space for the different activities. We need modern electrical upgrades. There are just so many ways that building construction has improved for schools in the last 50 years. We need to take advantage of all of that. That's my comments for now. Thank you.
Council President, if I may just say something to Councilman Ricks, to Mr. Okay. Testa. Thank you. Councilman, yeah, I agree with you. We were on the phone with these Providence people on Friday, and their high school, I believe, may have been in the worst condition of all in the state. And their accreditation was essentially going to be pulled if they didn't do anything. The other risk, to your point, if we start to, in your words, throw good money after bad and start to do major work at Pilgrim, there is a risk that RIDE won't reimburse any of that. And I think Mr. Gothberg would concur with that. So there is a risk that if you end up spending $160 million, that the city pays every penny of that. So I think your points are very valid.
Thank you. Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. President. So I have some questions, and actually with the discussion that just took place, I've got some additional questions. And my questions to try and help me get to a position on this. So as you know, I shouldn't say most of you, there's some of you that weren't even on the council when it was actually Councilman Marola and myself that had brought this issue up about building a new school and a new elementary or secondary school. The discussion did increase. We ended up at RIDE on a couple of occasions. RIDE had indicated to us that it was possible to do it. There was a potential of up to a 52% reimbursement. This, by the way, this meetings took place with the previous school committee and the previous administration. And at the time, I think it was 3 years ago, David or Karen may be able to correct me on that, but I think it was 3 years ago, maybe 4 years ago, when we had first brought this up. They also indicated that there would be a lot of pressure to do it and get it done, but it could be done. The process could be completed, it could get to RIDE, et cetera, et cetera. And I think at the time we were talking about a $280 million budget with somewhere up to a 52% reimbursement, using that reimbursement for one of the other two schools. And we couldn't get traction for it. Couldn't get traction from anybody, from the committee to the school, to the administration, to the previous, actually two previous administrations. So do I, as a council person of Warwick, agree we need to address this issue? Absolutely. Do I still support a new high school? Most likely I would. Am I going to support two new high schools? unless you can show me that we can pay for it and the taxpayers can pay for it and we can do it without a subsequent tax increase, I won't be able to support it. And what I mean by subsequent, meaning that we know, we just heard Mr. Schaefer say our levy is 4%. I'm sorry, our levy is 300 and whatever, I'm sorry, 200 and some odd million dollars is our levy. So with this bond, what can happen is it can be factored in without impacting the levy. Meaning we can increase taxes to pay for this bond at about, I think it's $1.50 some cents per thousand or more. But at the end of the day, the tax man's coming around, whether it is done through the levy or it's done through an additional tax increase outside the levy, the taxpayers are still gonna have to pay for it. So there's my major dilemma. Is I need to see how are we going to pay for not only this school or schools, how are we going to pay for it in totality with all of the other items and commitments that we already have in place, such as the recent two contracts that we approved of 10.7% increase, the increase in the teachers' contracts. We have a new contract coming up in June. We have other bonds that we are paying for. We have other school bonds that we're going to be paying for. Sure, we have some of these bonds that are going to go away, which will help us somewhat, but I don't see the math in how we are going to be able to shoulder this tax burden for these two schools and all of the other issues that we deal with, including healthcare and pensions, et cetera. What has come to a surprise to me, having said what I just said, is Mr. Gothberg said, I think it was Mr. Gothberg said that the escalation number is set at 15%. Excuse me, I'll comment about that in a bit. But the maximum reimbursement that we would get from RIDE, whether it be $350 million or $450 million, is $150 million. That's what I believe I heard. Up until this point, my understanding was that we would qualify for up to a 52% reimbursement with a heavy emphasis on the 52%. Now I learned this evening that it's only 43%, regardless of how much we pay. 52% would be 182 million. So that's somewhat concerning to me, because that being the case, that's going to increase the cost to the taxpayers for this school. The concern about escalation in this contract is very, very real. It is very real. And do not kid yourself in thinking that it's not, because I've been experiencing it in my little operation for the last 2 years. An example is January 2nd, one of the largest manufacturers of aluminum products in the country, the building products in the country, instituted to us or to their customers, which is my vendors, a 35% increase one time, 35% increase on nails, soffit, gutters, coil, et cetera, a lot of aluminum products that go into building these buildings, such as all the window systems in these schools. One increase of 35%. The cost increases that we have incurred over the past year alone far exceed 15%. 15% was the norm for any one increase out of the last eight or nine that we've incurred. And there is no there's no light at the end of the tunnel. And we hear it all the time from the National Association of Home Builders. There's no light at the end of the tunnel on this. And to think that there is a terrible mistake. The cost of building a single family home in 2021 increased by somewhere around $25,000 just in the cost of the lumber. The other thing that is concerning to me, if we're going to tackle two schools at the same time, where do you plan on getting the workers to do this? Do you have a plan for getting the workers? Because we don't. In the construction industry, it's not in, you know, the little residential stuff. Talk to all the commercial contractors. There is no help. You have difficulties today even getting bad help, let alone any qualified help. And I say that tongue in cheek, but that is a fact. So I have a concern with building two schools at the same time. Where is the general contractor going to find the help to do these projects and get them done in a timely manner? That's a really big concern. The other thing that is, I don't know, it's just mind-boggling to me that initially it was presented to us that we're looking at a $300 million budget to do this. And from that point in time to this point in time, the budget increased almost overnight by $350 million. That alone is exceeding a 15% increase. And that's very concerning. I'm also concerned with what I understand, and I'm not going to mention any names tonight, but I'm also concerned with I would like to see from the project manager, if you will, for lack of a better terminology, certain documents that speak to the engineering company, whichever engineering company that you choose. I would like to see from the from that contractor, I would need to see evaluations. I want to see client evaluations from architects, talking to projects that have been done and overseen by the engineering firm. I would especially like to see and hear from the owner's property manager on these particular projects. These are commercial projects. So they all have, you know, owner's property managers. It could be a city, could be a private owner. And the owner's recommendations for who the engineer is going to be on these schools, or the architects for that matter. And I don't see that in my package. So I don't know if you already have that or not. But if you do, I would certainly think that it would be prudent upon you to present it to us. So when we are making a decision, yay or nay, on building these schools, that we are comfortable with a significant portion part of this process going forward with this building. The cost of was always a big item. And if I remember correctly, I think at the previous meeting we had on this, I think the city council had requested a cost of building one school. And I don't know if somebody could wants to stand me corrected on that. I seem to remember someone requesting an estimate from the school committee, school department rather, of a cost on building one school.
Hold on 1 second, Mr. Testa.
I'm sorry.
So we can't make any adjustments to like major adjustments to their application. So
that's not what I'm saying,
they didn't provide you that. I just want to point out for the members of the public that with the only thing we can consider tonight is the two as part of their application.
I understand that, but that doesn't change the fact that, and apparently I am correct in my recall that we had requested a cost to build one school.
Councilman Lattis, if you're speaking about the last meeting in the February 7th, no, the January meeting where you got the video proposal from the architects, I don't recall that being asked at all.
Well, I may have the time frame wrong, so I'll ask my colleagues on the council. Does anyone recall us asking for an estimate to build one school? Does anyone remember that, or am I imagining it?
I believe we did hear that. So at one time, Councilman Lattisaw.
We did. Thank you. Thank you, Councilwoman, for having the courage to speak up on that.
Well, Councilman, if possible, if you can go back into the memory banks, I mean, I'd like to know that as well. We only, as far as I know, we only presented to you in January and then tonight. So prior to the January presentation, we weren't before the city council for schools at all, except for when we came into, Steve, you can help me here, when we were looking to do something on the existing bonds. So we've never been before this council for the high school project.
It was certainly a discussion previously, but this is way back when we were still considering renovations.
That's right. And it could very well have gone back there. So again, don't hold me to the time frame, but I'm fairly confident that request, which makes it even more interesting if it was that far back, because now we're talking months and months ago that that request was made. Question I have, and I've had an opportunity to dig into this a little bit more. Some of it, to be honest with you, right up until today. Being that we are in this RIDE classification of stage two. So stage two in the criteria of the law, if you will, it states that stage two of the process requires districts to complete a feasibility study, cost projections, design plans, and site work. And I believe that these requirements, at least my understanding from what I was told today, that these requirements need to be completed before the city council votes on sending this to RIDE for stage two approval. Assuming that I'm accurate on that, has that been completed? Have all those stages been completed? Now, Mr. Testa, I see you nodding your head, so I'm going to defer to you through the council president, if that's okay.
I'll defer to Mr. Gothberg. He's been more involved in that aspect. Great. Thank you.
Mr. Gothberg?
We are almost complete with all of those. The only thing that is going on right now is that there is some site exploration finishing up at Pilgrim. We finished up at Tollgate end of last week, and we should be finishing up tomorrow, the next day at Pilgrim. Estimates are should be in by the end of the week. And everything else is in order. We're assembling the package now. You know, it is a timing issue. So we're trying to get everything done, and it does come to a head as we head towards the 15th.
And I realize that. And, you know, again, it's something that has been, you know, on the topic for a very long time. But in order to protect the city council from any issue here regarding the requirements, I would like to have a clarification from either the solicitor from the school department, our council solicitor, or the city solicitor. If the city council votes on this matter, now that we know all of these things are not complete, would we be in any type of violation that would create an issue for us as well as the school department, as well as going forward with the project? Can someone answer that question?
Is there anyone from the school department that could give an answer to that?
Council President, if I may just ask a question, Mr. Gothberg.
I don't want to go exchanges here. The Council Lattiser has a question on the floor here. We're looking for, is there anyone from the school department that can answer the legal question?
I cannot answer the legal question, no.
Okay, do you have anybody here that can speak to the legal question?
We do not have our lawyer on the call.
Okay. Now, again, this is, I'll ask Solicitor Walsh, but I mean, he is not the person that is moving this forward. So I believe the Councilman Lattiser's question should be directed to the school department, which is what he's trying to do. But you know, Councilman Walsh, if you have anything, again, knowing that you're not the one that is checking out their application and moving it forward, seem to be the only solicitor on at this time.
Yes, it's a hard answer to question, having not been involved in the department and committee's application process. So, you know, keeping that, you know, clarification noted, I would say that the risk of proceeding without certain stages completed it's hard to project. I would say that the one thing that this council has the ability to control throughout the process is proceeding forward with this support resolution does not bind the council or commit the council to the project and the financing of it or any other vote that needs to be taken down the road. We've alluded to that earlier in the evening, that process for this is that this is a support resolution that essentially expresses the sense of the council that there's an appetite to go through the motions with the Rhode Island Department of Education. RIDE may vet this and have their own considerations for the committee and the department to either have to fix or change or come back to, and that, you know, it could run into its own issues throughout that vetting process, or it may be clarified and everything comes back to us with the end result. It's at that time that the council would be in the position of having to, you know, make a formal request to the assembly to commit ourselves to the question on the ballot for the voters at a later date. So without knowing all of the RIDE protocols, the shorter answer is the council is not committing itself to anything or committing the city something this evening. And the process needs to play out through RIDE as to whether all boxes are checked adequately or not.
Okay, yep. So let me just, let me get into this a little bit deeper, because the more conversation that I'm hearing here, the more concerned I'm getting. And keep in mind, the concern is to protect the city council from, or to err on the side of caution, to protect us from making an error. The other concern is, you said we have to the 15th, like that's the drop dead date. So my other concern is that if we approve this and these documents are not completed, they're not done, and we're voting on this, let me read this. It says, upon the preliminary determination by RIDE that the project meets the criteria for the stage one of the necessity of school construction process, the application proceeds to stage two. Stage two of the process requires districts to complete a feasibility study, cost projections, design plans, and site work. Billy, what I'm looking for to cover all bases is, how do we word this so that we comply with the intent of that regulation and yet not have RIDE look at it on the 13th of February and say, the city council voted on this and all those documents were not completed. How do we do this so that we do it correctly without having something run afoul?
If I may speak to this, Councilman.
Well, hold on one second. He requested.
All right, thank you.
Solicitor Walsh.
Thank you for the question, Councilman. And it's raising logistical concerns that I'm not sure that everything, and I'm not familiar intimately with the RIDE process and would certainly defer to the school committees and departments council if they were available. But my understanding is that there's a opportunity for curing all of these things within a reasonable time as they get the application formalized. It may not be that it all follows a rigid linear process, but I need to revisit those regulations to further clarify that. But my sense is if there is an issue with the application, RIDE will take action accordingly. So back to the question that I previously answered for you is,